Today in the Chokeslam Wrestling Report, we're going to talk about the Vince McMahon situation that I covered on YouTube, but I'm giving you the more of some more fallback news that came in as Vince McMahon came out and SmackDown for God knows for what. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Jeff Hardy suspension after he got caught driving with a suspension license in Florida this past Monday. We're going to talk about G1 Supercard or the G1 Climax 32. Who are the participants, who is in it. And we're going to talk a little bit about Dominion and what I thought about that show. We're going to have that and much more on the Chokeslam Wrestling.
Newberry, sitting at home, acknowledge me.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to another episode of the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. I am your host, the infamous Ultimate One, and today we're going to be talking about, first of all, we're going to be talking about the Vince McMahon situation. We're going to be talking about the Jeff Hardy arrest and being suspended by AEW, and we're going to have some wrestling news and some of the participant of the G1 Climax 32 for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and my thoughts about the whole Jay White winning the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, which is leading to Forbidden Door as he came out on AEW this week and attacked Hangman Page. So let's start off today with a story that I brought on my YouTube channel a couple of days ago, and the first thing I want to bring up is that we saw Vince McMahon show up at SmackDown. This man has more nerve than a toothache, the way I'm looking at it, because this man decided that he was going to make an appearance on SmackDown. And you saw all these E-droids, because that's what they are, and everybody praising him, chanting his name, singing along to his theme song. And what that showed me was that these people who were pretty much applauding him and idolized him as he come out, think that what he did is it's good. It was all right. He did what he had to do. He had an affair with a young lady, and he paid her off so she could be quiet and whatnot. And this is a problem with society today, that, you know, everybody think that it's cool to do certain things. Now it's not bad. Things that, put it this way, what's good is bad, and what's bad is good. And I sit here and I saw this the SmackDown for the 45 seconds that Vince McMahon came out. That's how long it took him. 45 seconds. That's how long it took him. And he used his word, now, forever, then, or then, now, forever, and then he says, together. So pretty much he's asking the WWE Universe to support him as he getting investigated for paying a former employee that he had an affair $3 million for hush money. And now the board of directors, as you guys know, because yeah, I'm sure you've been reading it since Wednesday, he's being investigated. Now, I was hearing this other podcast, and this podcast that made a lot of sense. As you guys well know, that Nick Khan has been very quietly doing his little moves here and there. And he mentioned something to the effect that this man, Nick Khan, has tried to get rid of the whole McMahon family so that he could take over the whole company. Think about it. Which made a lot of sense. First, we had the Shane McMahon situation where, you know, he wasn't around, and then he came back in Royal Rumble, had a heated discussion or whatever the hell it was, that he wanted to be part of a main storyline, you know. You know, it was stupid. He wanted to be part of a main event, main storyline, and something that he wanted to take the spotlight away from these other wrestlers. So he was gone. Nobody heard from him again. He was gone. Then, of course, we had the Triple H situation where Triple H NXT promotion pretty much got snatched from under him. He was so stressed that he had a heart problem, and he landed in the hospital with heart problems. And now he can't wrestle no more. He had the sad part of seeing him in WrestleMania go, I think it was night two, go in the ring and say that his wrestling career was over. And it's something that, I mean, it's crazy. Then we had Stephanie McMahon, the daughter of the boss, leaving the company last month and leaving the company. Therefore, giving her job or whatever her duties to Nick Khan. All of a sudden, this month, we have the Vince McMahon getting investigated for this hush money for $3 million. Now, the lady supposedly worked from 2019 to this past January for 3 years, had an affair. McMahon, when she left, she quit in January 2022. This year, he gave her $1 million and to stay quiet. And then he told her, I'll pay you the next $2 million for the next 5 years as long as you keep your mouth shut. Now, at first, when I first reported this on Friday, I had made actually a video before he stepped down, where I said that I don't think he was going to get stepped down because the money he used for his hush money was his own money. It wasn't company money. He didn't take the company money. Like, that would be different because that's, you know, company money, you know, and so I figured, like, oh, not going to really happen to him. He's going to get away with this, blah, blah, blah. But the next day, I'm seeing all these stuff, social media, Twitter, where somebody just pretty much listed all the stuff that McMahon has done far with the Superfly Snuka when he supposedly got, allegedly, he killed his girlfriend. He tried to cover that up in 1985 or 84, whatever it was. There was a situation where the Edge and Lita video thing on the sex segment in a couple of years ago where he forced Lita and Edge to do this with John Cena pretty much against it. He even threatened Lita if she didn't do it, she would get fired. The 1986 first female referee to ever appear in a WWE when he went to do the contract negotiation with this young lady. He forced her to have oral sex with her. When she refused that she didn't want the job, supposedly he raped her. I mean, I don't know if this is true or it's just people just putting stuff out there, but I won't put it past Vince McMahon. This is the same man that beat the government in 1994 when he was allegedly accused of distributing steroids. The only thing that saved his ass was that Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior never testified against him. So that is his biggest win. But I think this time, he won't be able to get away with this one because I think lots of cans are going to be open of stuff that happened in the past, you know. But I think the reason I say that I'm bringing all this up is because I believe, and the podcast has made a good point, I think Nick Khan has been plotting to take down the McMahons to take over the whole company. You know what I'm saying? And McMahon, what he did on I think it was Friday, the report came in that he was backing away, not stepping down, backing away from the CEO role and whatnot. And was given the interim position, the CEO part, interim, to his daughter, Stephanie McMahon. It's funny because that word interim has been used through wrestling the last couple of months. We had an interim Ring of Honor Women's Champion at one point. Now we have an interim, they're going to have an interim AEW World Champion. Now we have the interim CEO. So that word has been used around in wrestling the last couple of months. But Stephanie McMahon taking over or positioning herself in the CEO spot, it's not going to change shit. And I'll tell you why, because McMahon is still in the creative process, creative part, in the creative department. So this shit is not going to change at all. Everybody was celebrating on Friday oh, Stephanie McMahon is CEO, but I'm like reading this article, I'm like, McMahon backed away from the CEO spot, but he's going to be still dealing with creative. All I have to see is that he's dealing with creative, and that tells me everything. That he is not. Anything, nothing's going to change. The product's still going to suck like it sucks now, okay? And again, I question why in the hell did he show up to do a 45-second segment, came in strutting like, yo, nothing has happened. That's the cause smiling, people, singing along with his theme song. I'm like looking at this shit like, wait a minute. So you clowns who are in this arena right now, okay? Yeah, I'm calling them clowns because if you are clapping for a man who just been accused of paying $3 million to someone so his affair doesn't get, exposed, and you clapping, what that shows you as a fucking person. You know what I'm saying? And at the top of his, then, now, and forever, and together. Also, now, all of a sudden, you want the WWE Universe to be on your side when you've been giving shitty product for the last 3 freaking years. You know what I'm saying? I'm being honestly, I usually don't wish bad on anybody, but this man, he has what is coming to him. Okay? He has what is coming to him and whatnot. Because all the bullshit, all that firing you done, how many wrestling careers you had destroyed, you know what I'm saying? You are a sick dude. I mean, and I was telling my boy Mike, and I was telling him, yo, if this man used to write storylines about women getting, stalked or he, in a storyline where he's, having an affair with one of his wrestlers while his wife is there. You know, if he's doing this, he's reliving his sick, demented mind in a wrestling storyline. What makes you think that he doesn't do this in real life? He still got the old school, good old boys mentality. They used to be back in the 1970s and 80s with the horror stories they used to hear back then with some of the female wrestlers and all that. This is the type of mentality there is. Now, John Laurinaitis, most likely he is gone. Now, if you guys don't know, but Laurinaitis is the father of the Bella Twins. So, the report was that after McMahon had this affair with this lady, supposedly he passed up to John Laurinaitis like a toy. So what that tells you about WWE and how it's running there and why a lot of people are just miserable in there. There was reports coming in that a lot of these wrestlers in the back on Friday were pissed off because McMahon showed up like nothing ever happened, joking around the backstage area and the whole nine. This is crazy. I mean, and this is why a lot of these wrestlers do not want to resign with WWE. And then you got these marks, these trolls on social media going and talking about, oh, you're a hater. Oh, no, WWE is the best. They make the most money. And the funny thing is that half of these people that talk about they got money, that WWE has money, you are not investing in the company. You're not in the stock market. You're not putting money on WWE like I am. I have stocks in WWE. So when you come to me and talk about money, I'm going to ask you the first thing, do you have stocks in the company? If you don't, shut the hell up. For real. Because that's all the excuse of some of these wrestling fans that come and they try to defend this company knowing full well that the product sucks. Right now, Monday Night Raw doesn't even have a world champion. That is sad. Why? Because Roman Reigns has kept this hostage. He's holding hostage to the WWE world title. So Raw doesn't have, and he doesn't want to go to Raw. Okay? And it's crazy, but, another thing that I saw on SmackDown was Brock Lesnar coming back and whatnot for another wrestling match against Roman Reigns for the 2,655,000th time. I'm a little exaggerating, but it's the truth. Who wants to watch this shit? Because I sure don't. I don't. Because it's ridiculous. How many times I went and watched Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the titles again. Didn't they just have that in WrestleMania where Roman won both titles? You know? It's crazy. It is very crazy what we're seeing. Also, there's word that Sasha Banks was released a week ago. Now they're saying that she wasn't released. We don't know what's the story with Sasha Banks right now. Okay, and people were going crazy, putting all Elite signs. I mean, this week when it came to WWE was nuts. It was nuts. Because as soon as this Vince McMahon situation came out, all of a sudden they would say, oh, Sasha Banks has been released. Wrestle Inc. The guy that does the Wrestle Inc. supposedly, as far as Sean Ross Sapp is concerned, he said he's on point with his. Well, is Sasha Banks released or not? Okay, so I can make a freaking story about this. But they don't know. Nobody knows. They don't know where Sasha Banks is at, what she's doing, where she's got released. There is report by Andrew Zarian that her lawyers and was trying to, come to an agreement or something to let her go. I do not know. So, great. So now Vince McMahon is still going to be around, and he's still going to be the creative writer. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is James Rodens from the WNR podcast, and you are listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
And we're back, guys. So another story that pretty much was talked about during the week was the Jeff Hardy situation. Him getting caught again driving with a suspended license. And pretty much Mr. Hardy again, I think it was the third time in 10 years that he has gotten caught driving DUI. And this time was in Florida. He got caught out there and whatnot, and what can you say? Like, what else is to say, like, for this man? He has not learned from his situation. I mean, this guy, as far as I'm concerned, he has not learned at all. And he got caught driving with a suspended license. I saw the video that they had on YouTube somewhere. Somebody had it on YouTube. The patrol car camera on that. And they show him speeding, pretty much going off the road, So the crazy part is that this man, he's doing stuff that, it makes you want to, say, what is his problem? Why are you doing this? Why are you just recklessly destroying your life when right now you were AEW with your brother? They had a chance this past week to wrestle for the AEW tag team titles in a ladder match, okay, against the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express, who were the champions at that time. But that was not his situation. He didn't want to do that. So now, Mr. Hardy decided that he wanted to get behind a wheel on a rental car, high on drugs and on alcohol, whatever the case may be, and put his life on the line and whatnot. What else is to say? What else is to say? That this man pretty much is just out of control. I mean, the fact that they brought him in on to AEW, and then there was rumors going around on Double or Nothing that he was on the juice, that he was, on the juice, and that, he was loopy, the way they called it. He claimed that he knocked himself out. Now, the question is this true? Was he telling the truth or lying? But right now, maybe he was high in that wrestling match. And that's what one of the reasons he wears the mask. I mean, the paint and all that, so you can't notice or whatever. But this man has not stopped. He has not stopped doing what he's like. He needs help. And now, right now, Warner Brothers Discovery, Warner Media Discovery, decided that, you know what? My man is driving without a suspended license, alcohol, whatever. No, we're not getting this bad reputation. Let's take all promotion stuff with his name on it out of TV, and we do not want him back until he gets some help. Tony Khan went and offered them help and said, look, you know, you could stay. We could help you with your problem, but you got to finish everything, and you're not allowed to come back until you finish everything. So right away, you saw these WWE marks and these trolls blaming AEW. There was reports online that it was AEW's fault, that he's back on the drugs and on the pills or whatever he's on, and it's AEW's fault because they brought him in, whatever. I'm sorry. If AEW's getting blamed for this, then WWE should get blamed for the stuff that he was doing when he was with them. But you got these trolls and these people that you sometimes ask yourself, and you're like, okay, why are you watching? Why are you watching? Because, you know, you live with your mom, you in the basement, watching wrestling, rooting for all your little favorites in WWE, and probably, you know, watching Alexa Bliss while you're drooling, while you got cupcake stains in your shirt and whatnot. And you're on social media making stupid remarks like this. That is AEW's fault that he got busted driving without a license, intoxicated, or under the influence, whatever the case may be. AEW's getting blamed for that, really? Okay? Not only that, but he lost an opportunity to win the tag team titles, the AEW tag team titles, this past Wednesday, because now that three-way tag team became a regular tag team, which the Young Bucks won the AEW titles. And then we saw the turn that we've been waiting for with Christian laying out Jungle Boy, you know? But the fact that people are just want to talk, they just want to talk, you know? It's ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous when you just make a statement like that. Oh, it's AEW's fault, whatever. Listen, it's the man's fault. You're responsible for what you do. Okay, if you get behind a wheel of a car, you know, when you intoxicated, that's your responsibility. And the fact that whoever gave him that rented car, knowing that his license has been suspended, it doesn't matter what his name is. It could be Schmo, whatever. And you still gave him a car, knowing that his license was suspended. You should get fired. Your company should go under for allowing this man to get behind the wheel. Because I'm sure you did a background checkup on his license, and you still gave him the car because of the nostalgia of what his name was, and you gave him the car. Now he's suspended. We don't know when he's coming back. You know what I'm saying? If he ever comes back, you know, honestly, he should get fired, to be honest. Because, listen, he's been given opportunities to opportunity. I mean, if people remember back in 2013 in TNA, he had a world title match against Sting, and he came in the ring high. He was high. And Sting death dropped him in a minute and 13 seconds and beat him for the belt. And Sting was pissed. Because he was like, how the hell are you coming in the ring? You can hurt me. You can hurt yourself. Okay, and then it happened about 2 or 3 years ago. He was in rehab again because of that. And then WWE made a storyline out of it, you know, because, you know, that's WWE. And they made a storyline out of it, of his pain and misery, you know. So it wasn't long ago. Now, when he left WWE this past, I believe, was March or February, when he walked out of that match and went through the crowd, was he high? That is the question you got to ask now. Was he high? Did he do that on purpose? Did his brother Matt knew about it and try to find a way to get out of WWE and all that? And apparently they said they did a test on him and he came out negative. So I don't know. I mean, this whole Jeff Hardy situation, I wasn't happy with the Hardy boys got back together, because, you know, they had a great match at Double or Nothing with the Young Bucks, and it was a good match. It wasn't as great with the one that I saw in 2017 at the Mayhem and Ring of Honor. But it was a good match. But you can see that Jeff was in pain. He's still wrestling reckless. This man is reckless. He's throwing himself from the top of ladders into tables and all kinds of shit. And, I mean, your body cannot take all that punishment through all these years. And he's one of those guys taking all kinds of pills to numb the pain, alcohol and all that. And it's sad. It is very sad to see him, you know, go through that, you know. So it's just sad. So that's all I have to say about that, because there's not much to say. I mean, again, he's suspended. He missed out on the triple threat match or the ladder match for the AEW tag team titles. So he pretty much missed out on that. And now, you know, he's suspended. He's suspended for God knows to what. And that is very sad, because now you don't know when he's going to return. The Hardys are ever going to get another chance to win the AEW tag team titles. And now, you know, he's going to have to go through the whole, you know, go through the whole drug rehab program, or else he's not allowed to come back. We'll have more when we come back, as we're going to cover AEW, Dynamite, and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and more.
The Pro Wrestling Vault. 35 short stories, including Harley Race, Ricky Morton, Tracy Smothers, and Tim Storm. Along with 300 photos from the independent scene. Taken from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Get your book today by going to WrestleVille.com or LanceByChance.com. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
Back, and we're gonna talk about AEW Dynamite that happened this week. I didn't get to see AEW Rampage. I haven't been able to catch up to that. I'm still catching up with Rampage. A lot of stuff, a lot of wrestling, a lot of things going on. But this week, of course, I always catch up on AEW Dynamite. They had the Chris Jericho versus Ortiz. It was a good match. Of course, Jericho wins with the help of Sammy Guevara, who ended up coming into the ring dressed as Fuego del Sol. And I was looking at this, I'm like, yo, who could it be possible? I can't see Fuego del Sol joining Jericho's Appreciation Society. And then it turned out to be Sammy Guevara. I mean, Sammy Guevara has not been seen since he lost in Double Nothing with Frankie Kazarian, who, when he super kicked Ty Conti, so he hasn't been seen. So he interrupted in this match, and now now Ortiz had to cut his whole hair. I mean, he looks better by bald head, I guess, because he got, you know, whatever. But he cut his own hair. He didn't have Jericho cut it for him. So now this match was the setup for Bloods and Guts on June 29th. Now, sad thing about this is June 29th, I am not going to be able to see this match. I probably will, maybe, depending. I'll be in Oklahoma. Hopefully, I get to see the wrestling match. If I don't, I'll probably see it when I come back. I'm only going to be there out there for 4 days. So this is a setup for Detroit, June 29th, Bloods and Guts, which is going to be the Blackpool Club, or whatever they call themselves, Blackpool Comeback Club, where along with Ortiz, Santana, and Eddie Kingston to join them to go to this Bloods and Guts situation. Then we had Warlow beat up 20 security guards, which I don't know why they did this. This was stupid. Only to promote UFC legend Matt Hughes and Tyler Woolley at the Lambro. Pretty much called them out to go get him and beat up Warlow. And instead, Mark Sterling, who thought that he could tell Hughes and Woolley to beat up a Warlow, instead it threw him toward Warlow, and Warlow ended up powerbombing him. But this was kind of silly. I really didn't care for that. Will Ospreay versus Dax Harwood. When I tell you this match was the best match of the night, this was classic. Of course, Will Ospreay, he does not disappoint. Right now, Ospreay could probably be considered one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I mean, you got Jay White, the Catalyst, who's been doing his thing. So right now, but Will Ospreay, When Will Ospreay gets in that ring, it doesn't matter who he's in there in that ring, he's going to make it happen. He's going to make it classic. But Dax Harwood, who's mostly a tag team wrestler, Dax Harwood could wrestle. And this match was good. But, Ospreay ended up beating Dax Harwood when he hit him with the blade. I forgot what he calls it, but it's a blade. It's an elbow in the back of the head to pin him and beat him. And then United Empire then went and attacked FTR, and Roppongi Vice came in and went out to help FTR. And then Orange Cassidy confronted Will Ospreay, and it looks like this is going to be the match. Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy. A lot of people are not happy about this, but again, I don't care what you people don't like, because you cry about everything. Wrestling fans cry about everything. You know, enjoy the match. This is, okay, it's Orange Cassidy. But Orange Cassidy, 2 years ago, had a great match with Pac. And I didn't even think that he was all that. And he impressed me. So, there was a face-to-face meeting between Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi, only for Jericho to come out. And then Desperado from Suzuki Gun, along with Lance Archer, attacked Tanahashi and Mox. And then I think Wheeler Yuta and somebody else came in and helped them. But the Mox and Tanahashi, that is the setup for Forbidden Door for the interim AEW world title on the line. And it's going to be something to watch. And this is a setup for 3 years. Moxley has been calling Tanahashi for 3 years. And now it's going to be set up. The All Atlantic title tournament between Ethan Page versus Miro. This was a great match with Miro winning this match, beating Ethan Page. Then Toni Storm versus Britt Baker. This surprised me because I don't know why Thunder Rosa came out to chase one person. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're doing with this women's division, but they're giving a shot at Toni Storm already. And it looks like Thunder Rosa doesn't look happy, does not look comfortable being the AEW world champion. I'm surprised that Toni Storm beat Britt Baker. That was a very surprising part. Hangman Page did a promo only to be taken out by no other than Jay White because he got distracted by Adam Cole. And Adam Cole thought, well, you know what? We took out Adam Page. Because Adam Page wants a shot at the IWGP belt. But this is when Kazuchika Okada had it. But now Jay White has it. Jay White took out Hangman with the Blade Runner. And then Adam Cole thought, well, let's make this happen. A match between me and you and Forbidden Door. Let's give them what they want. And Jay White said, when you hold this belt, you hold control. He said, you're not getting a title shot either. Adam Cole was surprised. So I don't know where they're going with this. I mean, already Jay White saying that the United Center in Chicago is sold out because of him. This is his claim, even though back when they had the G1 Supercard in Madison Square Garden in 2019, he claimed that he single-handedly sold out Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, this is good. This was great. I mean, I like it. I mean, because it's setting up Forbidden Door, and who knows that this is going to – it's not going to only be the only time that New Japan and AEW is going to work. So, this is what Impact should have done. But Impact should take notes on that. AEW tag title match in the ladder match between Young Bucks and Jurassic Express. This was a good match. It was a wild-ass match. I mean, tables were broken. I mean, Jungle Boy got put through a table. I mean, bad. I thought he hurt himself, but he continued the match. The Young Bucks end up beating the Jurassic Express after they took out Luchasaurus at that hit. BT on Jungle Boy, and they win the tag team titles again for the second time. Afterwards, you saw Christian turn on Jungle Boy. This is something that I've been talking about for a while, and I said that this was going to happen, and he was going to pretty much turn on him. I mean, we saw it. We saw it coming, and it was going to happen. So, yeah, so it happened. So now what's going to happen from here to maybe All Out or All In, whatever it is that they call it now. So that's going to be interesting. So that was the main event. And I don't know, but this was pretty cool. And we'll see what happens after that. But a lot of stuff going on with this Forbidden Door thing. But far as Forbidden Door, AEW All Out pretty much has been reportedly revealed. Reports that it's going to be in a Hoffman Estates arena, the Now Arena, actually, in Hoffman Estates. So that's going to be where they're going to have it at. What else is here? Britt Baker likes a tweet accusing Thunder Rosa of no-selling during Marina Shafir match. That was a horrible match between those two. And the fact that Marina Shafir got a title match, I don't know why. But she just had a match for the TBS title match against Jay Carhill. And that was not that great either. So AEW star Britt Baker has liked a tweet accusing current AEW Women's World Champion Thunder Rosa of sandbagging during the recent match. Sandbagging is basically when you purposely make yourself difficult to maneuver around with the intention of making your opponent look weak. The tweet also accused Rosa of no-selling. The match being referenced on this occasion is Thunder Rosa's title defense against Marina Shafir last Wednesday and whatnot on Dynamite. Two tweets from Eric and Sarasota were as follows. It's been a long time since I've seen a match with somebody so obviously tried to make themselves look better than their opponent by sandbagging and no selling, but I'm just saw a perfect example of it in Dynamite. I might just look like a bad match to the untrained eye, but it's pretty clear when somebody doesn't want to play ball, which sucks because it just makes you and your opponent look bad. Britt Baker liked the first tweet, while Marina Shafir liked both. Thunder Rosa has reportedly been unhappy backstage in recent weeks due to the lack of platform she's had on the show since winning the Women's World Championship from Baker, which is pretty much true. So, and you know, and this week she came out running, I don't know why, and then looked confused like she didn't know what she was doing. I don't know. That women's division needs a whole reset. I'll tell you right now, it's just freaking horrible. It's just, you know, I don't know who's running this shit, and if it's Kenny Omega, man, you need to fix that shit, for real. AEW drivers are either unhappy and not being able to work with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's not only him, but also the Lucha Bros. They're not going to be allowed to work for the New Japan Forbidden Door. And that's because Andrade first said, posting on Twitter, writing, I can't work for New Japan thanks to CMML and AAA and what appeared to be a sarcastic thumbs up emoji. Essentially, the belief is that Andrade has a deal with AAA. CMML are partners with New Japan Pro Wrestling. CMML doesn't want New Japan Pro Wrestling associated with AAA talent. And it remains to be seen whether this will affect any other AEW star who often works for Triple H, which include Lucha Bros and Young Bucks, among others. Andrade and Idolo has been off AEW TV since April 30 before returning last week, and he took time off to get married to WWE star Charlotte Flair. Right? So then, Lucha Bros then said that they're not scheduled either for the Forbidden Door. You know, and Penta Escudo is part of the 8-man AEW All Atlantic Championship Tournament, and he should he win his eventual match with Malakai Black, he will be going on to the pay-per-view to compete for the title. But I don't see that happening. I see Malakai Black winning his bracket for that to happen. Chris Jericho said he would love to work with Minoru Suzuki and Will Ospreay. He said, I would love to have worked with Minoru Suzuki. I would love to have worked with Will Ospreay. He said, there are still some guys I want to work with, but I also like to do those in Tokyo. I think Jericho versus Suzuki has a way different feel to it in Tokyo than Jericho versus Suzuki does it in the state, because Suzuki has worked a lot in the state and worked a lot of lower-level guys. In Japan, that's not the case. To be honest with you, when Punk got hurt, I thought maybe I would get the call to work with Tanahashi. Obviously, Mox is a great choice as well, but that to me is the side of what I should be doing in New Japan situation. Don't forget, we got Bloods and Guts 3 days later, so if I do something at Forbidden Door, it has to be something that leads to Bloods and Guts, and it has to be the next step in the story, so where does that fit in? Well, we have to use the heads and figure something out to make it fit in somewhere. So, and you can't really have a pay-per-view without Chris Jericho on the show or Eddie Kingston on the show or Brian Danielson on the show at this point in time, especially with Punk and the other guys out. I'm sure I'll be involved in some capacity, but it's going to have to be more of something that fits together and what's going on in Blood and Guts, which probably means not so much a singles match and more of a faction-based match with the Jericho Appreciation Society at the crux of his versus the BCC or whatever New Japan guys we decide to could fit in there, which is true. I mean, you got guys hurt and you know you need to bring it up. So you know, but it is what it is. So we'll be right back, guys, with more Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Jada Red Sante, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid, and you're listening to the Chokeslam Wrestling Report.
And we're back. So let's talk New Japan Pro Wrestling. And first of all, let's talk about this Dominion show that happened last Sunday or last week. The fact that we saw the very surprising part, like I said, I saw the match between Machine Gun Carl Anderson and Tama Tonga. His first title match, or the first defense of his title, the Never Open Weight title, toward Carl Anderson. And he loses the belt. I don't understand it. Unless you're going to pull him again as the Guerrillas of Destiny and they're going to be tag teams again, then that's something to watch. Or are you going to continue on to have this Carl Anderson and Tama Tonga feud continue? Because now you got the G1 Climax 32 coming up for the month of July all the way to August, which is one of the best tournaments that New Japan has and whatnot. Also, interesting part we saw the Jeff Cobb and Great Okan beat Balak Fale and Chase Owens for the IWGP Tag Team titles. That's very interesting. To know there's going to have a, supposedly in the Forbidden Door, it's going to be everything goes between Great Okan, Jeff Cobb, the IWGP Tag Team Champions versus FTR, the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, and Roppongi Vice. So whoever wins that match takes all the belts. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens if the Great Okan and Jeff Cobb walks out with the Ring of Honor titles also. So this is going to be very interesting and whatnot. We saw the Jay White beating Kazuchika Okada. To me, I was happy with that because the way Jay White lost the belt 3 years ago, he won it in Wrestle Kingdom, and 2 months later, he lost the belt to Okada at Madison Square Garden, which I was not happy because they didn't give him a chance. Now, with Jay White being the catalyst of professional wrestling and what he is doing, I love what he's doing. Do you think about it? He just got Ace Austin into the Bullet Club. Now you got two members of Bullet Club. You got Ace Austin and Chris Bay as part of Bullet Club in Impact. You got the I don't know if the Elite is part of Bullet Club, which I doubt that. But then you got the whole crew in New Japan Strong, part of Bullet Club. New Japan in Japan with the whole Bullet Club. So, I mean, I love what Jay White is doing. He's making things happen. This is something that Omega was doing this last year, but he was doing it differently with the belt collectors. And now Jay White is just, listen, Jay White has been hot. I think the only loss match he lost was against Chris Sabin at the Multi-Universe in Impact. But then again, you know, that's his only loss since. And now he's the IWGP champion. But now the storyline that's going along with this is now he went to AEW, just took out Hangman Page, who asked for a shot at the IWGP against Okada, but Okada lost the belt last Sunday to Jay White. So he said, you're not getting a title shot. He went to AEW this past Wednesday, went and took out Hangman Page and took him out, and then told Adam Cole, you're not getting a title shot either. So this is a very interesting thing, what Jay White is doing with this whole storyline. And he is the man who's carrying New Japan on his back to the United States. Okay, something that Omega tried to do, but again, with the whole situation with Omega and New Japan, well, was very sad the way that ended and whatnot. And now, luckily enough, they're working. Omega hasn't wrestled in Japan in God knows for like almost 4 or 5 years. But when he does, it's going to be very amazing. But Omega's got to recover from all these injuries he had, back problems, leg problems, vertical. He has all kinds of injuries. He's not clear to wrestle yet. But a very interesting situation coming up in July, and that is the G1 Climax. The G1 Climax 32.
It has a bunch of wrestlers, and I think they're breaking it down to 7 sections. I haven't got all of it, but here is the lineup of the wrestlers participating in this. You got Okada, who won it last year, and he won that last year because Ibushi got hurt. So you got him. You got Tamatanga, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Filthy Tom Lawler, the New Japan Strong Open Weight Champion, is going to be part of this tournament. This is going to be very, very interesting. Then we have Jonah. Jonah, this is going to be very, very cool to see what he does from here. You got Yoshihashi, Hiroki Goto, Toru Yano, Tomohiro Ishii, Jeff Cobb, Great O'Conn. I want to see Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn go against each other. Will Ospreay, Aaron Hanari, Shingo Takagi, Sanada, Tetsuya Naito, Jay White, Evil, Kenta is back, Yujiro Takahashi, Balak Fale, Chase Owens, Juice Robinson, Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr., AEW's Lance Archer is in there, David Finlay, and surprisingly enough, El Fantasmo, who is a junior, is participating in this match for the heavyweight. So you got a lot of Bullet Club members in here. You got, let me see, you got, let me count it right now real quick. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You got 8 members of Bullet Club in this tournament. And this runs from July 16th and finishing up in Roroku Summer Hall on August 18th, when one man will earn the spot, the main event at Wrestle Kingdom. So I don't know how the brackets are going to be, but I'm definitely, this is one of my favorite tournaments of the year. And it's that, the G1 Supercar, why I keep saying Supercar? G1 Climax 32. I say G1 Supercar because, I mean, that's the most memorable event that I have gone. And I got to AEW's events, won the Grand Slam. The one recently in May 11th on the UBS Arena. Nothing tops that G1 Supercard in Madison Square Garden on April 7th of 2019. That was one of the best time I ever had watching a wrestling show. And I will never forget New Japan and Ring of Honor. That was the night that Kaz and Enzo jumped over the barricade. And they had a big fight with Bully Ray and the Briscoe brothers. And across the other borough in Brooklyn, that was the night that Bret Hart got attacked by a fan. And he got his ass whooped by FTR and God knows how many people. So, you know, that's why I always say G1 Supercard. But it's the G1 Climax of 32 coming up. That this is one of the best tournaments in Japan because there's a lot of matches that, I mean, top five star matches, some of them come out of this. And Will Ospreay's in there. You got Jay White. This is going to be big. This is going to be better since the last 2 years. And you know this rivalries are going to come out of this. Betrayals are going to come out of this. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting now with Bullet Club. I saw Tamatanga. I didn't mention Tangaloa. I think I didn't mention Tangaloa. I got to check real quick if Tangaloa is participating in this. I did not see his name here. Let me see. Is he? No, he's not. No, his brother Tamatanga is. Tangaloa is not participating in this one. Maybe he's injured. Who the hell knows? But it is what it is. But that is it for me today, guys, as far as the audio podcast of the Chokeslam Wrestling Report. You guys, if you want to continue to follow me, you can follow me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. That's what I be most of the time on Twitter. You can check out my YouTube channel, The Chokeslam Wrestling Report. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Hit that thumbs up. I just put a video there on Friday about the Vince McMahon stepping down as the CEO of WWE. Check that out. Show some love on that. Also, big ups to my people at Project Codename Wrestling. Again, I want to thank them for having me last Saturday in the show. The Mikey's Superstar Whiplash versus Chris Cage was an awesome match. There's more to come. I definitely will be continuing to cover Project Codename right now. There's a video going around that I participated in. Actually, they were recording me. I didn't even know they were recording me when Chris Cage got attacked in the parking lot during the match of TJ Marconi. I didn't even know they were recording this, and I had no idea. But it looks like Danny Math is coming back, and he's coming after TJ Marconi. He already took out Chris Cage. It's going to be interesting. The only bad part about that is on August 6th, it said I won't be able to attend that event for Project Codename Summer Heat because I will be in Florida. I'm doing a lot of vacation stuff and all that. So that week, I'm not going to have a podcast. I'm probably going to drop something on Wednesday, the day before I leave. And I'm not going to be around for the fallout for Bloods and Guts. Or what else is in that week? I think the Bloods and Guts, the ramp, Bloods and Guts for AEW Dynamite, which I'll probably do it on July 5th, which will be a Tuesday, because July 4th, I'm sure nobody's going to be around. Everybody's going to be eating hot dogs and all kinds of shit. So until then, guys, again, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can follow me on the YouTube channel. You can also, if you want to get apparel, you can check out my store, tcwr.veryimpressive.com. That's tcwr.veryimpressive.com. You can get your hoodie, you can get your shirts, you get your hats, and whatnot. And, you know, I will accommodate you as best as I can. If you have any issues with the website getting in, I'll help you out. So, till then, guys, be safe, and I'll see you guys next week.